You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome into this Thursday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Tony East, with the West Indianapolis Community News and one of the site experts at 8.9 Seconds. Just me today. Wanted to run through a little Hawks preview and talk about Joe Young as well as a conversation I had with Joe Young. But first, I'm going to ask you guys to do me a favor. If you could leave us a rating and a comment on iTunes about how we're doing, that would be awesome. And I wanted to be honest. You know, if you don't like something, if you like something, let us know. Really helps us out. Takes 5 minutes. You know, if you don't want to, that's fine. Don't do your own thing. But I'd be forever in your debt if you were to help us out and do that for us on iTunes or Stitcher or however you listen to this podcast. But let's just jump right into some content and talk about Joe Young, who's gotten substantially more playing time in the stead of Darren Collison's injury. And since Collison's injury, the surgery was on the 6th, I believe. It was announced he'd be out on February 5th. Sorry about my voice. I'm pretty sick and it's late in the day. But anyway, since February 5th through their last game against Dallas, Joe Young is averaging 20.7 minutes per game. And, you know, if you had told me he'd average 20.7 minutes per game before the season for any stretch, I'd have said that the Pacers were screwed. I never was a huge believer in Young, both offensively and defensively. I knew he could score, but that's all I really thought he had in him. But, you know, boy, have I been wrong. You know, in this 20.7 minutes per game, I think the most crucial thing to me is he's 50% on his threes over those 6 games. For him to be an effective offensive player, you know, he's super fast and athletic, and a lot of that is due to his size. But if the shot's not there for him because he's, you know, 6 feet tall, I did air quotes because NBA heights are not always accurate, but he's 6 feet tall, you know, he's not effective getting in the paint that much unless, you know, he is a switch or something like that. So the three ball has to fall for him to be able to stretch the floor. And he almost acts as like a wing when he's in because he's always in with Corey Joseph or Lance, who does the ball handling. In fact, you'll hear in a second, he calls himself a three in one of the lineups that he plays in, even though I think you are the position that you guard. But anyway, you know, he has to be able to stretch the floor given his limitations. And if he's hitting 50% of his threes, that's exactly what he's doing. You know, he's forcing his man to come out and guard him. And that's, you know, that's just huge. I mean, he's been a positive, and there's been 6 games since Collison went out. He's positive in 4 of them. I believe he's a positive overall. That should be easy math. Yes, he's a +6 in those 6 games. So, you know, he's having an impact, and he's actually helping the offense run smoothly as a second unit. Which is something I didn't expect either. Only 1.3 assists per game in those contests, which that is another number that if he can really get it up, I think would really open things up for him because, you know, given that he already has the speed, if he could, you know, give and go or something like that. So just getting the ball out of his hands in a constructive way would be just very beneficial for him. Obviously, the defense still isn't there, so he's going to have to refine that offensive game perfectly to really have a prolonged NBA career. But what we have seen from him in the stretch has been incredibly promising, and if the shot keeps falling, especially from deep, you know, maybe he will get some time. And he got 8 rebounds against the Hawks. You know, that was crazy. I was gonna say his rebounding averages, but that is heavily inflated by an 8-rebound Hawks game. But you know, he's putting in the effort on the glass, and that's what he has to do. And they do play the Hawks tonight, and I'll preview that game later, but you know, that's huge. If he's hitting the glass too, that keeps other guys moving and in transition and things like that. And you know, with the assists, like I just said, he had 0 in the first 2 games of the 6, and he's averaging 1.3 per game. So really, it's just been those last 4 where he's really starting to figure out, you know, who to give the ball to and what's going on. But I want to talk about what I talked to him about, which was really mostly about, you know, confidence and what it's like playing more because, you know, you don't have that, and what Darren's told him as a mentor, filling in for him basically in his role. So I'll drop in a few of the, actually, you know what? I'll just drop in the whole interview. I was going to cut it because I'm a really bad interviewer and I sometimes interrupt people when I am shocked by the things they say, but I'll let you guys listen to what we talked about for about a minute after the Hawks game last week. With Darren out, what's it been like playing a lot more recently?
Just, you know, that just shows how the organization keeps me prepared. And, you know, I give it to most of my vets, you know, the vets from Al, that they really keep me, you know, motivated to come out here and, you know, take the opportunity and take advantage of it.
You've been playing in some more fun two-point guard lineups with him as well. You know, is that something new for you? I know you didn't do that much at Oregon, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a combo guard. I can play the one, I can play the two, you know, three. I mean, it just depends on what they want me to play.
Three?
Yeah, I mean, they put me at the three sometimes when it's me, Corey, and Lance in there.
Ooh.
So.
I want to see more of that.
Yeah. And, I mean,
you guard the 3-2?
No, I just guard the 1.
Okay, yeah. Has you talked to Darren about how you've been playing in this stretch, or has he been helping you through it a little bit?
Yeah, he just said, you know, keep attacking, you know, keep playing great defense, and, you know, helping the team win, and, you know, keep bringing that tempo, and, you know, he's doing
like
good.
Joe Young basketball.
Yep.
So my impressions here are, first of all, I love hearing another player, one that's never in the spotlight, talk about how the organization has helped him thrive this year. You know, that's been the MO for this team, beyond the chemistry and, you know, the surprising level of success. I know, how far into the season do we have to keep talking about it? It's so impressive. But, you know, the fact that they got Joe Young, they have confidence in Joe Young to come in and play heavy minutes and do a great job. You know, that has to be huge for him and his confidence when he steps onto the court. And you can see it, you know, he's playing great basketball. And, you know, that has to be just massive for him as a player to know that the organization has his back and is going to trust him in those minutes, especially with Collison out. And I like that he said, you know, Collison told him to keep attacking, because I agree that that is something that he needs to do. You know, I talked about how he can't really score in the paint and the three needs to fall. But really, you know, his best score, even coming out of Oregon, has been attacking the basket and finishing. So, you know, he needs to keep doing that and playing to his strengths if he's going to be an asset out there. I loved that Darren said keep playing great defense. Joe Young is a defender, that is for sure. He's a body on the court, but I would not say he's a great defender. But anyway, yeah, pretty interesting to hear him say, you know, I wasn't surprised by anything he said, but it was just interesting to hear him talk about, you know, his perspective on how it's all gone down. I'm glad everyone's got his back, because, you know, I didn't for a long time think that he was competent enough to get those minutes, but he's proven me wrong substantially, so I'm glad he's keeping it up. And I loved that quote about the playing the three. I had to throw in the jab about what position do you guard, because no way should Joe Young be considered a three in any lineup. That is Joe Young is the one, Corey is the two, and Lance is the three. But I let the players decide what position they play. But that's what I thought it would be fun to talk about Joe Young for a little bit. He's finally proving that maybe he does belong in this league. And I think, given, you know, that he's only on the books for $1.6 million next year as a fifth guard, I think you take that if his three-point shooting's even close to real. He's got the culture down. He's young, so there's no – I don't know. There's a million reasons to keep him, and I think they will. So, cool talk with Joe Young. Hope you guys enjoyed that. But now let's transition into a preview of tonight's game against a team they just played last week, the Atlanta Hawks. Man, I got to talk to Adam about this. How do I keep getting stuck talking about the Hawks? I swear, it's always me. And they play again March 9th, I think. March 8th, March 9th, something like that. And it's me again, probably. We haven't actually discussed that far in the future yet. But not looking forward to talking more Hawks. The Hawks are very boring to me. You know, they're a team that when we get the roster sheets in the media room, I was looking at it and I was like, man, like, I don't know some of these guys. I had to actually do research before the game on, like, Tyler Cavanaugh and Malcolm Delaney and Isaiah Tate. Like, all these guys, I've said this a million times, but I was just like, man, I don't know who these guys are very much. And I had to look into it. But, you know, they played last week. The Pacers beat them by 23, easy win at home. The Hawks just don't have a lot in terms of actual talented NBA players, and that makes them, you know, devoid of ways to win when they're not at home. But fortunately this time for them, they are at home, and they might be a little better. I suppose at least they would be a little better than last time. Since they last played, the Hawks only had one game. They played the Lakers at home and got trounced 104-123. They really just can't stop anyone recently, and with the loss of Ersan Ilyasova, who they just bought out, I know he didn't play against the Pacers the first time, but the most recent time. He just got bought out, though. That's even worse. Now they're even worse on defense. You know, he's really good at taking charges, which is a random skill, but he's really, really talented at that. You know, he really clogs up those lanes, so with him gone, you know, that's even more opportunities for success for anyone on the Pacers, but really guards who attack should have more opportunities to do that kind of thing. And I think they're going to search that out. McMillan's good at picking mismatches, and with especially given whoever's on the court. And I think he'll be good at that. But there's a lot of differences from, my B-ball ref page for the Hawks just pulled up an ad. I barely got it muted in time. Anyway, there's a lot of differences in this Hawks team from last time to this time. most notably besides Ilyasova on the injury front. DeAndre Bembry got hurt. He has an abdominal strain. He did not play against the Lakers. He might not play in this game either. Antonius Cleveland, I think they just signed him to a two-way, or maybe he's an affiliate G League player. I don't know too much about him. He's missed the last couple games with an ankle injury. They're not sure if he's going to play. Malcolm Delaney sat out the first Pacers game. Probably not going to play again. So, you know, they're really scraping the barrel now. I'm almost positive you'll see Andrew White. You know, the same class of guys that I've preached that I didn't know very much about. Tyler Dorsey, Isaiah Taylor. But you might even see a heavy dose of guys who are not very good, like Miles Plumlee. You know, might get thrown into the fray a little bit more than they would like. Heavy dose of Torian Prince, definitely incoming. And Torian Prince is pretty inefficient this year. He's been really struggling since a decent start. I know he has a lot of promise, but he's not that good of a player. It's a guy, kind of a good matchup for Bojan because he's not super athletic or good at handling the pick and roll, and he doesn't move a crazy ton off ball. So Bojan can really kind of handle with him, and that makes him more deadly on both ends. If he's actually an effective defender, he could be a significantly better shooter as well. But from that last game last week, some changes I personally would like to see made. Turner, of course, cannot be in foul trouble against a team like this. Dwayne Dedmon, Miles Plumlee, excuse me, and John Collins are not the best scorers. You shouldn't be fouling them anyway. It's not like they're such a threat that you have to foul them to stop them. You got to keep yourself in the game and stretch the court out. None of those guys can defend in space. If you put this game away early, maybe you'll get low minutes, but just don't foul early. Keep yourself out there. Keep the floor stretched for everybody, including yourself, to thrive and succeed. I think that's going to be crucial. Lance Stephenson, don't shoot five threes this time. You only make one of them. You're not the best three. Lance is such a good high-energy guy. Shot 50% in the whole game. You know, he only missed one two-pointer. He had eight rebounds, and he had a great game, but he could have had an even better game if he wasn't shooting so many threes, you know, one of five. Not his MO to take those deep balls. He's not a great shooter. It's just not who he is, and I know he's confident, but on the road, you know, maybe he should hold off on a few of those shots. I think that could substantially help the offense. And then Corey Joseph, you know, he's going to look to be more like Darren Collison in this one with the distributing and pushing the pace a little bit. You know, we saw against the Mavs how the slow pace was not helpful, and with Oladipo out, it's even harder to push, but I think they're going to, you know, try to correct that a little bit more in this one. You could tell they were frustrated after the Mavs loss. About pretty much everything. So they might try to make a change in the pace and just really run the Hawks out of the building. And if they run the Hawks out of the building, I want to see lots of TJ Leaf and Trey McKinney-Jones, just see what those guys can give. And of course, you know, I want to see more Poitras because he's not playing enough given that he got that full NBA contract. Defensively, they did a nice job shutting down Schroeder in the first game. I don't know how easy that will be again because Schroeder's fast and he has pretty high variance of his scoring. He could go off any time. But you know, I think Corey can do a nice job on anybody, so I think that'll be okay. It's really hard to say anyone on the Hawks bench is going to kill the Pacers. You know, Miles Plumlee, Tyle Dorsey, Mike Muscala, Isaiah Taylor, and DeAndre Bembry were the five off the bench for the Hawks. Bembry's not even going to play, I just said. So Andrew White pops into those minutes, but none of those guys are anything close to, you know, anyone who's going to kill the team. So really, if they can keep Schroeder down like they did the first time, you know, Bazemore was 0 for 3 from deep. If they can keep the main guys from doing the things they do best, I think they'll have no trouble in this one. John Collins was the team's leading rebounder. Let him have it. He's not a good scorer. He's not a good passer out of those rebounds. You know, I mean, obviously box him out, but if he gets it, just stay relaxed, stay composed, stay on him, and you'll be fine. Deadman's not going to kill you unless somehow his three is falling, which won't happen. So it's really, you know, the variability of Schroeder is something to watch. If Bazemore hits his threes, that's something to watch. And Torian Prince's ball handling, you know, he had six turnovers that last time, is something to watch. But really, I expect no troubles, and they'll be motivated coming off a loss. So just be on the lookout for some minor changes, nothing huge. You might see a few more minutes for Glenn Robinson and a few less minutes subsequently for Lance Stephenson. But other than that, I think it's going to be a largely similar game, and I think the Pacers are going to walk out with an 8 to 10 point win. But I don't think the Hawks want to win anyway, so maybe it'll be higher than that. Who knows? It'll be interesting to see. I'll have your recap up tomorrow. If you want, you can follow me on Twitter at TEastNBA. I tweeted a funny picture of Andrew Bynum yesterday. I've got some articles coming out about some back cuts that Glenn Robinson does, which is pretty cool. And some horn sets. It might all be the same article. I haven't decided yet. You can follow this podcast at Locked On Pacers. We lost a follower since you last heard me preach about getting us to 350. So please help us get to 350. We just like to keep posting these milestones. You guys are the best. Thank you for listening. Have a great Wednesday. I can't remember what day it's coming out. Have a great Wednesday, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.